IDK. When will the government tell us the truth? Lol. All speculation, obviously. Hashtag Universe City. Hashtag Universe Citizens. Hashtag Radio Silence. Hashtag Toulouse. Hashtag Francis Janvier. Hashtag Tuladio. Hashtag February Friday. Hashtag Letters to February. None of this was surprising to me anymore. Alid and I had gone way past the comfortable realm of privacy. Just us two sitting in his room and laughing into a microphone in the dark. Anyway, none of these points were convincing at all. Universe City had started before I met Karis, so I hadn't even known of Alid back then. So me being February Friday was impossible, and I already knew that February Friday was Daniel. It was starting to get a bit annoying, really. I decided not to show this one to Alid. It wasn't like he could do anything about it. I thought I'd better answer at least one, or people wouldn't stop asking. Anonymous asked, "Thoughts on the rumours that you're February Friday? Kiss, kiss." Toulouse answered, "I'm not February Friday. The whole point of February Friday is that nobody knows who it is. Why does everyone have to be so obsessed with making it a person in real life? In the creator's life? I thought one of the fandom rules was to respect the creator's privacy. They clearly remain anonymous for a reason. And I don't know why you think I'm friends with the creator. There are over 50 messages asking me whether I'm February in my inbox. Stop. Just enjoy the show and stop asking me about this because I don't have any answers." I was exhausted. I was always tired by Friday. But this time it was worse. I remember it being worse because I fell asleep on the train to school and had an actual dream. It was about two best friends who lived in an ice cave. Alid hadn't texted me, and I was worried. I didn't know exactly what was stressing me out. It wasn't one simple thing. It was more like a billion tiny things all pulling together to form one giant tidal wave of stress. It felt like I was drowning, sort of. I checked my asks one more time before the bell went to signal the end of break. And that's when I saw this message. Anonymous asked, "You say that you don't know why we think you're friends with the creator, when we literally have proof that the creator is your friend Alid Last." YouTube famous. "Do you eat the same thing for lunch every day?" I looked up from my cheese and ham panini. Rain Singupta sat down next to me at our usual table in the sixth form cafeteria. She had a bright orange rucksack hanging off one arm and her phone in the opposite hand. The rest of our friends hadn't arrived yet. "I'm very unimaginative," I said, "and I don't like change." She gave a little nod as if this were a reasonable explanation. "How did you know that anyway?" I asked. "You sort of stick out, mate, sitting here at a table by yourself for like 10 minutes before the rest of us get here." "Oh, great. That's completely the opposite of what I was going for. Not your desired lunchtime aesthetic?" "I was going more for invisible girl just wants to eat her sandwich in peace." She laughed. "The ultimate dream for us all." I laughed a little too, and she lifted her bag onto the stool opposite me. It made a noise that suggested it weighed at least half of my body weight. I'd been trying not to think about the message about Alid. I hadn't checked Tumblr since break. Rain leaned on the table with one hand. "Just thought I'd better let you know there's some shit happening outside the school gate involving Alid Last." "What?" "Yeah. I think he came to meet Daniel for lunch and he's been, like, bombarded by children." I put down my panini. "What?" I said. They're asking him university questions. You might want to skip over there and see what's up, like before they crush him. I stood up immediately. God, yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't know you were such good mates, she said, pulling a lunchbox out of her bag. It's surprising. Why's that? I asked. But she just shrugged at me. The year 7 to 11 uniform is black and yellow, so it looked a bit like Alid was being attacked by a swarm of large bees. Around 15 teenagers had cornered him just outside the main school gate and were firing questions at him like he was an actual and legitimate celebrity. An older boy was taking pictures of him on his phone. A group of Year 7 girls were giggling every time he said something. A Year 7 boy was shouting out questions repeatedly, without stopping, such as, "How do you get YouTube famous? How do you get more followers on Instagram? And would you follow me on Twitter?" I stopped a few paces away from the back of the crowd. How did they know? How did they know he was Radio Silence? This wasn't what we'd wanted to happen. This wasn't what he'd wanted to happen. Alid finally saw us. He'd had a haircut. It looked kind of normal now. He was back in a jumper and jeans, too. He looked miserable. "Did you do this?" he said to me. Except I couldn't hear him at all. I could just see his lips move. I couldn't hear him, and I felt so annoyed about it that I wanted to push into the crowd and shout at all the people and make them leave him alone. "Did you tell them?" He looked angry and disappointed. It didn't take a lot for me to believe that I was disappointing, even though I hadn't done it. I wasn't the one who'd outed his biggest secret. "All right, everyone!" I was shouting before I could stop myself. The teens turned round to look at me, quietening a little. "I don't know what you all think you're doing, but you're not allowed outside of school during lunch unless you're in the sixth form. And seeing as none of you are, I suggest you get back inside school grounds." Everyone just sort of stared at me. I produced a sharp look that attempted to meet every single crowd member in the eye. "Like now? I might not be head girl anymore, but I can still make a pretty good case to Dr. Aphelion." And it worked. It actually worked. I don't know if you know, but when you're a student, it's a very difficult thing to get other students to obey you. The teenagers scuttled away, leaving Alid and me standing alone outside the gate. Alid was staring at me like he didn't even know me. I suppose I must have hardly looked like myself, in my sixth form suit, shouting at other students. He started shaking his head. He looked stunned more than anything. "What's going on?" Daniel's voice broke our silence, and I turned to find him walking out of the school gate towards us. I could feel my voice breaking a little. "They found out that Alid's the creator. Everyone." "Was this you?" Alid asked me again, as if Daniel wasn't even here. "No, Alid, I swear." "I don't understand," said Alid, who almost looked like he was about to start crying. "I needed it to be a secret. Are you sure you didn't tell them? You must have done it by accident." "No, they asked me, but I didn't. I didn't say anything, I swear." Alid just shook his head again. But he didn't seem to be doing it at me. "This is it," he said. "What?" I said. "This is the end. My mum's going to find out and then she's going to make me stop." "Wait, what? Why would she do that?" "This is the end," he said, as if he hadn't heard me at all, and then his eyes misted over. "I'm going home." He turned round and walked away, Daniel in tow, and I had no idea whether he believed me or not. Lying is easier on the internet. Lying is easier on the internet. Tolooza. Look, guys, the creator is not Alid Last. Yes, Alid Last is my friend in real life, but that doesn't mean shit. The creator is just someone I know online. And once again, no, I'm not February Friday. Stop stalking Alid. Stop posting pictures of him. Stop sending the creator annoying messages about him. Alid is a very good friend of mine, and you're really not doing him any favours. Thank you. Bye. Hashtag I'm so done with these rumours. Hashtag like, can y'all calm down, please? Hashtag I wish you'd never found out who I was, TBH. Hashtag Universe City. Hashtag Universe Citizens. Hashtag Radio Silence. Hashtag Tolooza. I don't know why I hadn't been able to say this to Jess, or anyone, earlier. I was immediately flooded with messages, all claiming I was lying. Anonymous said, "Lol, we know you're lying." Anonymous said, "What even was the point of that post? LMAO. Anonymous said, "Now you decide you're a good liar?" I didn't have any idea how they knew I was lying until I messaged Alid with a link to the post. He messaged me back almost immediately. Alid Last. That's no good. They know it was me. Francis Janvier. How? They have no proof. And then he sent me a link to a different Tumblr post. Universe-city-analysis-blog. Alid Last equals the creator? There's been a lot of talk in the UC tag today about whether a teenage boy named Alid Last from Kent, England, is the voice and creator of Universe City. I thought I'd do everyone a favour by compiling what evidence we have. Most of it from the UC artist Francis Janvier, Tolooza. And I think the conclusion is quite strongly supported. 1. Those who know of Francis Tolooza, aka the UC artist and voice of Toulouse, have confirmed that she has grown closer to Alid Last over the summer. They have been spotted together in their hometown and are in photos together on their personal Facebooks. This is where the speculation around Alid Last began. 2. When confronted in real life with the suggestion that Alid Last is the creator, Francis reportedly responded, "I'm not allowed to say." Source, obviously we have to take this person's word. If Alid Last wasn't the creator, where would be the harm in confirming that he wasn't? 3. Similarly, Francis has not answered any questions about Alid Last on her Tumblr or her Twitter, despite people claiming to have sent her messages about it. Again, why would Francis not just confirm that Alid Last isn't the creator? Granted, none of this is solid proof that Alid Last is the creator. The convincing piece of evidence comes from last month. 4. On the night of the now infamous Ghost School episode, Francis's Twitter account, at Tolooza, posted a blurry picture of a pair of lime green shoes, captioned "Radio Revealed." Link. Alid Last can be seen to be wearing these shoes in various photos on his personal Facebook. 5. Photo. 6. Photo. 7. Photo. 8. These shoes are an old design of classic Vans that haven't been made for several years. Source. Alid's personal Facebook suggests that he has owned them for 3 or 4 years. They're obviously very rare shoes, since most people would have thrown them away by now. Very few people wear the same single pair of shoes continuously for several years. 9. Also, from some screenshots of the Ghost School episode, you can see a blonde figure with longish hair, which looks similar to some photos of Alit. 10. Photo. 11. Screenshot. 12. Screenshot. Feel free to make your own conclusions, of course, but in my eyes, it is almost definite that Alid Last is the creator of Universe City. The post had over 10,000 notes. It was disgusting. People who knew Alid in real life had taken stuff from his private Facebook. They'd listened in on my conversation with Jess and quoted me. What was this? Who did they think I was? A celebrity? What was worse was that it was right. Alid Last was the creator. They'd put the evidence together and they'd found out. And it was entirely my fault. Francis Janvier. Fuck. I'm so sorry, Alid. I can't tell you how sorry I am. Alid Last. It's fine. Time Vortex. It was 6 p.m. when I received a Facebook message from Rain. 1801. Lorraine Sengupta. Hey, what happened in the end with Alid? Was everything okay? 1803. Francis Janvier. Everyone knows he's the creator. People on Tumblr found out. Awkward emoji. 1804. Lorraine Sengupta. And he's upset about it. 1804. Francis Janvier. Very. 1805. Lorraine Sengupta. Why? Isn't he just complaining about getting a load of internet followers, lol? Kinda wanna say, check your privilege, TBH. 1807. Francis Janvier. I think he really wanted it to be private, though. You'd understand if you listened to the show. It's really personal to him. 1809. Lorraine Sengupta. Yeah, but there are worse things than getting internet famous. LMAO. I wanted to tell her that it wasn't really about that. What had Alid said? That his mum would make him stop. Had that just been an exaggeration? Or would that really happen? Why would she do that? 1814. Lorraine Sengupta. Why are you so obsessed with that white boy anyway? Lol. 1815. Francis Janvier. I'm not obsessed with him, ha ha. I just like him a lot, I guess. 1816. Lorraine Sengupta. Like, you want to bang him? 1816. Francis Janvier. No! OMG. Can't I like a guy without wanting to get with him? 1817. Lorraine Sengupta. Yeah, you can, lol. I just wanted to check. Smiley face emoji. Why'd you like him so much then? 1818. Francis Janvier. He just makes me feel a bit less weird, I guess. 1818. Lorraine Sengupta. Because he's weird as well. 1819. Francis Janvier. Yep, haha. 1820. Lorraine Sengupta. Aw, that's kinda nice. Well, I think you're being a pretty good friend anyway, so props to you. But I don't think Alid has any right to be upset. He's literally upset about being famous. Not to mention he's like one of the smartest people in his school. What uni is he going to? Like the one just below Oxbridge in the league tables. I mean, screw that. He has no right to complain about anything. He's literally living the perfect life. Top uni, got a successful YouTube channel. What's he moping about? Just because some kids want to ask him some questions. Literally, the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'd kill to be him, TBH. His life is perfect. I didn't know what to say again. And honestly, I just wanted this conversation to end. I wanted to fly into the sky and grab onto an aeroplane and fade away into the distance. 1824. Lorraine Sengupta. Your fave is problematic. LMAO. 1824. Francis Janvier. Haha, I guess. 1827. Lorraine Sengupta. P.S. You going to the thing at Spoons tonight? 1829. Francis Janvier. Thing. 1830. Lorraine Sengupta. Yeah, mostly people from the year above. It's the last night before most people go off to uni. 1832. Francis Janvier. I don't really know anyone. I'd just be sitting in the corner with some crisps or something. 1832. Lorraine Sengupta. You know me? And Alid might be there. 1833. Francis Janvier. Will he? 1833. Lorraine Sengupta. Well, maybe. But I'll definitely be there. I really didn't want to go. I wanted to stay home and order pizza and watch 7 episodes of Parks and Recreation and text Alid 70 times. But by this point it was too awkward to say no, and I really wanted her to like me because not many people do. I'm weak and weird and lonely and an idiot. Oh my God, Frances, your jacket! Rain was sitting in her car. A purple Ford car. That looked dangerously close to spontaneous combustion. Outside my house at 9 p.m, watching me walk towards her. My jacket was black denim and said Tomboy in white on the sleeves. I looked excellent. Ridiculous. Usually when going out with my friends, I tried to dress a bit more normally. But I was in a horrible mood and struggling to care about anything except what I'd done to Alid. Clothes are a window to the soul. Is that an, oh my God, you look absolutely ridiculous? I said, getting into the passenger seat. Because that's an understandable reaction. No, I mean, I didn't know you were so pop punk. I thought I was going to have to corrupt the nerdy one, but you're not actually a nerd, are you? She appeared to be being genuine. This is real. This is me, I said. She blinked. Did you just quote Camp Rock at me? That's not very pop punk. I've got to go my own way. Okay, firstly, that's High School Musical. We drove out of the village. Rain was wearing white platform trainers and stripy ankle socks, a grey t-shirt dress and a Harrington jacket. She always looked effortlessly cool, like an advert from some indie magazine you can only order online. You so didn't want to come, did you? Said Rain, grinning as she spun the steering wheel. She was a surprisingly good driver. What else do I have to do? I said, not mentioning the fact that I was literally sweating from how nervous I was about going to Spoons again. Because there would be so many people from school there, and people from the year above who I only knew a little bit, and it would be really awkward, and there'd be loads of groups of terrifying lads, and I definitely should have worn something more boring. And the only reason I was doing this, the only reason I'd want to do this all over again, was the chance that I could say sorry to Alid, and we could be friends again. Before he went to university tomorrow and made a load of new friends and forgot about me. Exactly, said Rain. We'd reached the motorway. With one hand, Rain turned the radio on, brought an iPod out of her pocket and fiddled with it. Music began to play in the car speakers. Her iPod had some kind of FM transmitter attached to it. Electronic drum and bass started to play. "Who's this?" I asked. "Madian," she said. "It's cool," I said. "It's my favourite for scuds." "Scuds? Drives? You never go for drives?" "I can't drive. I can't afford it." "Get a job, mate. I work 40 hours a week for the entire summer for this lump of trash." She patted the steering wheel. "My parents are proper poor. There's no way they'd get me one, and I needed a car. Seriously, needed to get out of my town." "Where do you work?" "Hollister. They're judgmental as shit, but they do pay all right." "Fair enough." Rain turned the music up. "Yeah, this Madian guy. He's the same age as me. I think that's why I like his music so much. Or I just feel like I've done nothing with my life." "It sounds like you're in space," I said. "Or a futuristic city where everything is dark blue and you're wearing silver and there are space cruisers flying overhead." She looked at me. "You're a proper university fangirl, aren't you?" I laughed. "Yep, until I die. I listened to a few episodes earlier, some of the recent ones that you're in." "Really? What did you think?" "It's really cool." She paused for thought. It's got something. The stories aren't like amazing literature or anything, but like the characters and the world and the language just sort of hypnotise you. Yeah, good stuff." "So do you ship radio in Toulouse?" The shipping of radio in Toulouse had increased exponentially this month, which I felt a bit awkward about, since it was me and Alid, and lots of people thought that the characters represented people in real life. At least three people at school had asked me whether me and radio were dating in real life. We hadn't even been trying to make radio and Toulouse's relationship romantic. She thought about it for a second. I don't know. It's not really about that, is it? Like, if they get together, it'll be nice. But if they don't, it won't ruin anything or change anything. The show's not really about romance. That's exactly what I think. The music suddenly increased in volume. Rain changed gears and moved into the outside lane. "I really like this," I said, tapping the radio display. "What?" said Rain. The music was too loud. I just laughed and shook my head. Rain shot me a confused grin. God, I barely knew her, but somehow here I was, having a vague hint of a good time. The motorway stretched out before us, dark blue, flashing lights. It looked like a time vortex. Rain knew literally everyone who turned up at Spoons, all the people who'd left the various town schools 4 months ago and were getting smashed one last time before they left for university and gradually stopped speaking to each other. It took only three awkward conversations for me to need alcohol, which Rain got for me since I was still 17. She was drinking water because she was driving, but at one point she said to me, "Yeah, I stopped drinking ages ago. I used to do some really stupid stuff." And I wondered what that was all about. I should have stopped drinking, but the awkward conversations with people I didn't know would probably have destroyed me emotionally. Spoons was packed. It was terrifying. "Yeah, me and my girlfriend were going to go to Disneyland last month," said some guy to me while I was waiting for my third drink. "But we decided to save our money for uni. Like, neither of us could get any of the maintenance grants, so I need money to keep me going while I try and get a job." "What? I thought everyone got maintenance grants," I said. "The maintenance loans, yeah, but that doesn't cover the whole cost of your rent, unless you're living in a dive. You only get the grants if you're poor or your parents are divorced or whatever." "Oh," I said. Yeah, everyone thought the boys' school head boy was going to get into Cambridge, said a girl half an hour later. I was drinking my fourth at a circular table, Rain talking to four different people at once. The girl was shaking her head. He's been the top student in the year since year seven. But then he just didn't get in. Like seven other people got in, but he didn't. And everyone had been like, oh, he's obviously going to get in, for so long. It was horrible. That's really sad, I said. I honestly don't know what I'm doing, said another guy, who was wearing a denim jacket with a Joy Division t-shirt. He had an awkward posture, like he was embarrassed about something. I don't know how I passed first year. I did nothing. And now I'm going into second year and it's like, I honestly don't know what I'm doing. He stared at me and he looked tired. I wish I could go back and do things differently. I wish I could go back and change everything. I did some stupid things. I did some stupid things. Spoons turned into Johnny R's, as it always did, and none of us noticed it happen. I don't even know how I got in there without any ID. But suddenly, there I was, leaning on the far left of Johnny R's bar, with a drink that looked like water but definitely wasn't, judging by the taste. I looked to the left and there was a girl sitting there who appeared to be doing exactly what I was doing, leaning on the bar, a drink in front of her, staring blankly at the crowd. She caught me, looking at her, and turned. And she was classically pretty. Big eyes, wide mouth, and she also had the best hair I'd ever seen. It reached her waist, and the parts that weren't dark purple were a faded grey lilac colour. It reminded me of Alid. You all right? She asked. Yeah, I said, yeah. You look a bit dazed. No, just bored. Ha, same. There was a pause. Do you go to the academy? I asked. No, I'm at uni. I went to the grammars. She'd gone to the grammars. That's what people say when they went to my old grammar school that burned down and then had to change to the boys' grammar school. Oh, right. She sipped her drink. Hate it, though. I might leave. Hate what? Uni. I'm starting second year, but... She trailed off. I couldn't stop myself from frowning. Why would anybody hate university? I think I might go home, she said. Aren't your friends here? Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think I'm the sort of... I don't know. What? I used to like coming here, but I don't think... She laughed suddenly. What? I said. One of my old friends, she always said that I'd get tired of it eventually. Like, she'd always say no when I tried to bring her in year 13, when we were both 18. She'd always be like, no, I'll hate it. And then she'd tell me I'd hate it in the end too, so she was just getting the jump on me. She laughed again. Well, she was right, as usual. Oh, is she here now? The girl looked at me. No. She sounds cool. The girl ran a hand through her long hair. The light made the purple so beautiful she looked like a fairy. She is. She looked past me. I couldn't see her eyes through the dark. I can't believe she was right this whole time, she said. I think, but I couldn't really hear her because the music was too loud, and I was about to ask her what again, but then she raised her eyebrows and forced a smile and said, I'll see you later. Even though I never saw her again in my life, and she disappeared. And I wondered whether I would stop hanging out with Alid once he was gone. And one day it would just be me, sat in a club, with a drink, staring at other friends dancing. Blank grey faces I haven't met yet, all drowning under the sound. I downed my drink. Sorry. Francis, 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 Francis! Rain ran up to me in the middle of the third floor, where they were playing a dubstep remix of White Sky by Vampire Weekend. I was drunk and had mostly no idea what I was doing or why. I was just doing it. Rain had a plastic cup of clear liquid, and for a second I genuinely believed that it was an entire plastic cup of vodka. She saw me looking at it. May, it's water, she laughed. I'm driving. Teenage Dirtbag started playing above our heads. Rain raised one hand into the air and pointed at the ceiling. Mate! Francis, we have to dance to this. I laughed. I kept laughing. I always did that when I was drunk. I followed her into the dancers. It was sweaty, and four guys attempted to grind on me. One guy touched my arse, and I was too much of a square to do anything about it. So Rain poured her water on him, and he shouted at her. I laughed. Rain laughed. I'm a really rubbish dancer anyway. Rain was a good dancer. She was pretty too. I was drunk, and I wondered if I was in love with her. And that made me laugh a lot. No, I'm not in love with anyone. Alid kept flashing in and out of my vision, like he was teleporting around. He was magical in so many ways, but I wasn't in love with him either. Even though he always looked so good in shirts, and his hair was all messed up and lovely because we were all so sweaty. Later on, I was dancing with Maya to some trippy London Grammar song, and Maya was saying, Francis, you're like an entirely different person. And I saw Alid in the corner, talking to someone. Oh, yeah, obviously it was Daniel. I needed to talk to Alid again, but I didn't want him to hate me. I so desperately wanted this to be okay, but I just didn't know how to make it okay. Now that I knew Alid and Daniel were together, I kept noticing all the tiny things I hadn't noticed before. Like the way Daniel would look at Alid while he was talking. The way Daniel would pull Alid along by the arm and Alid would follow without question. The way, when they were in conversation, they would lean so close together, it was as if they were about to kiss. I really was an idiot. Maya and Jess and these two guys, Luke and Jamal, were drunk too. And they were bitching about Rain while we were dancing. Multitasking. They said she was a slag or something. And she made them all feel really awkward. Maya gave me a weird look while they were speaking. And I realised that it was because I had frowned at them. I was still thinking about what that girl with the purple hair had said about wanting to leave university. I was thinking about it because I didn't understand it at all. I'd never heard anyone suggest anything like that. But then again, obviously not everyone enjoyed university. I knew I would, though. So what she'd said didn't matter. I was study machine Francis Janvier. I was going to Cambridge, and I was going to get a good job and earn lots of money. And I was going to be happy. Wasn't I? I was. Uni, job, money, happiness. That's what you do. That's the formula. Everyone knows that. I knew that. Thinking about it was giving me a headache. Or maybe the music was too loud. I watched Alid and Daniel head towards the stairs so obviously I followed, not even bothering to tell Rain where I was going. She'd be fine. She talks to everyone. I didn't know what I was going to say, but I knew I had to say something. I couldn't just leave things like this. I didn't want to be left alone like this. Daniel had always been there before me. I'd been stupid to think Alid could ever consider me his best friend, when he'd already had one for so long. Even if he'd been the honest-to-God best and most excellent friend I'd ever had in my whole life, and I might have to live my whole life without meeting another person so brilliant as him. I almost lost them in the crowds because everyone was starting to look the same. So many skinny jeans and little dresses and undercuts and platform plimsolls and Wayfarer glasses and velvet scrunchies and denim jackets. I made it outside into the smoking area, and I couldn't believe how cold it was. Wasn't it summer? Wait, no, it's nearly October. How did that happen? It was so quiet outside, so cold and quiet and dark. "Oh," said Alid when I practically collided with him. Neither of us were smoking, obviously, but it had been so hot inside I thought I was going to melt. Not that I would have complained about melting. It would have solved a lot of my problems. Alid appeared to be on his own, a drink in one hand. He was wearing one of his more boring short-sleeved shirts and very ordinary skinny jeans. And his hair. He didn't look like himself at all. I wanted to hug him, as if that would turn him back into his normal self. It was dark and crowded outside, and all the benches were taken. A remix of Chocolate by the 1975 was escaping out of the doorway into Johnny R's ground floor, and it almost made me roll my eyes. "I'm so sorry," I said immediately, even though it sounded so childish. "Honestly, Alid, I can't tell you how much." "It's fine," he said, straight-faced and obviously lying. "I was just surprised." "It's fine." He didn't look like he was just surprised. He looked like he wanted to die. "It's not fine. It's not fine. You didn't want anyone to know about it, and now everyone does. And your mum, I mean, you said she might make you stop doing it or something." He was standing with his legs crossed. He wasn't wearing his lime green plimsolls. Instead, he was wearing these very ordinary white ones that I hadn't seen before. He shook his head slightly. I don't understand why you couldn't have just lied. I don't get why you couldn't have just said no when they asked you whether it was me. I don't know why I couldn't have lied about it either. I lied all the time. My entire personality was a lie. Every time I stepped inside the school building, wasn't it? Wait, no. School Frances wasn't a lie. She was just... I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, I know. Alid snapped. He actually snapped. I just wanted him to be okay. I just wanted us to be okay. "Are you okay?" I asked. He looked at me. "I'm fine," he said. "No," I said. "What?" he said. "Are you okay?" I asked again. "I said, I'm fine." He raised his voice and it almost made me step backwards. "Jesus Christ! It is what it is. We can't do anything about it. Stop making it a bigger deal than it already is." "But it is a big deal to you. That doesn't matter," he said. And I felt like I was going to break into a million tiny pieces and get blown away. "It's a pathetic thing to be upset about, so it doesn't matter. But you are upset about it. Just stop talking about it." His voice got louder. He sounded almost panicked. "You're my most important friend," I said again. "Don't you have your own things to worry about?" he said. "No," I laughed again. I could have started crying. "No, my life is fine. Completely boring and fine. Nothing ever happens to me. I get good grades, I have a great family, and that's it. I've got literally nothing to complain about. Am I not allowed to care about my friends' problems?" My life is fine, he said, but his voice sounded hoarse. Fine, I said. Or maybe I shouted it. Maybe I was drunker than I thought. Fine, 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 fine. Everything's fine. We're all fine. Alid stepped back a little, and he looked hurt. And I knew I'd done something wrong again. Why am I such an idiot? What do you think you're trying to do? He said, his voice louder now. Why are you so obsessed with me? That hurt like a stab to the heart. I'll listen to you. I don't need you to listen. I don't want to talk about anything. Stop pestering me. And that was it. He wouldn't tell me anything. He didn't want to. Just, why did you do it? He said, his hands curling into fists. Why did I do what? Tell everyone I'm the creator. I started shaking my head wildly. I didn't. I swear I didn't. You're lying. What? He walked closer to me and I actually stepped backwards. He might have been drinking, but I'd drunk a lot so I couldn't tell. You just wanted to use me to get popular on the internet, didn't you? I couldn't speak. Just stop pretending you care about me. He was on full shouting at me now. People were starting to look at us. All you care about is Universe City. You're just another fangirl trying to expose me and take away the one thing I actually care about. I don't even know what your real personality is. You behave so differently around other people. You've literally plotted this entire thing from the start, pretending you just like hanging out with me and you don't care about internet fame and all this shit. What? No. My mind was going blank. That's not true. Then what is it? Why are you so obsessed with me? Sorry, I said. But I wasn't sure whether I was making any actual sound. Stop saying that. Alid's face was scrunched up and his eyes were watery. Stop lying. You're just caught up in some stupid delusion. Again, just the same as you were with Karis. I suddenly felt like I was going to vomit. I'm just the replacement. You're obsessed with me, just the same as Karis. And you've managed to fuck up the only thing I had, the only good thing I fucking have, just like you managed to fuck up Karis's. Do you fancy me as well? I don't fancy you. Then why would you be round my house every day? The way he said it was like someone else was speaking through him. He stepped closer again. He was so angry. Just admit it. My voice was more like a shriek by this point. I don't fancy you. Do you believe me? I thought. Does anyone believe me? I thought I might be the only person who believed me. So what the fuck is it? Why did you do this to me? Tears had started to spill down my cheeks. It was an accident. Alid stepped back. You told me yourself that you're the reason that Karis is gone. He said the last word so loudly that I stepped back again. And now I was crying properly. And God, I hated myself. I hated myself so much. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Before I knew what was happening, Daniel was in front of me, almost shoving me backwards, saying, Go away, Francis, leave him alone. And then Rain was in front of me, facing him, saying, Lay off, mate. What did you say to her? And then they started shouting at each other. But I wasn't really listening until Rain was like, He doesn't fucking belong to you. And then they were both gone. And I was walking out of the club and sitting down on the curb, trying to stop the tears coming out of my eyes. But they wouldn't stop. Francis, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You didn't do anything, Francis. I have, I've ruined everything again. It wasn't you. It was me, everything was my fault. It's not important. He'll get over it, I promise. No, not just that. Caris as well. Caris. It was my fault. It's my fault she's gone and nobody knows where she is and Alit's all alone with his mum and it's all my fault. Suddenly, I was sitting on a bench with my head on Rain's shoulder and in her hand was her phone and she was playing some music and it was like the music was coming right out of her hand. But the phone speakers were shit and the music sounded less like music and more like the dull 2 a.m. buzz of a car radio on the motorway. And the guy sang, "I can lay inside." And the music played like the darkness of the sky. And it played with me. I felt drunk and blurry. And I couldn't remember what I was going to say.